chapter 1, and we'll read verses 9 through 12 to start with tonight.
It's always good to be able to come and pray. You know, if we don't do anything else, we come and pray. That's what we need to do. And we need to pray throughout the week and in the mornings, and not just once a week, but it is good to be able to come together and collectively share burdens. And the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. I think we do that when we help each other pray about things, and you hear somebody's got something on their heart that's bothering them, and you pray for them. And so that's special and good, and I appreciate the opportunity to do that, and then to look in God's Word as well. So we're going to look tonight, James chapter 1 and verses 9 through 12, and I desire your prayers that the Lord would speak to our hearts tonight. But the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 9, it says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And we'll try to get down through all those verses tonight, down through verse number 12. But I want to say, first of all, tonight, just a little testimony about how the Lord works. You know, last week we were just in one verse, verse number 8. I spent the whole time in preaching out of and talking about verse number 8. Said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I had studied about that, preached on it last week, but I just couldn't go any further. I had studied further, but I just couldn't get anything. I just couldn't even get any thoughts together past verse number 8, getting into verse number 9, and it even bothered me last Wednesday night when I left. I was talking to Kim about it. I said, I just don't know why I couldn't get any farther than that. Not that I'm trying to do, you know, so many verses a week, but I just couldn't get past that one verse. But last Sunday, we had the missionary family, the Laughing Ears, John and Abby, and they're going to Fairfield, Connecticut, and going up there to establish a church. And they came last Sunday, told about that. Well, we went home with them. They came home with us, had Sunday dinner with us, spent the afternoon. And that night, I had got him a meeting up at Bible Way. So we went up there to Bible Way with him and heard him preach again up there. And, you know, they are interesting because he was talking about how those people they're going to are rich. And I got to thinking about that. How many missionaries have you ever heard tell of that were going to, I mean, that was, God's called them to go to these rich people. And how these rich people, they've got everything that you might think that people would need, but if they don't have Christ, they don't have anything. And he even said that night when we went up there that, you know, other places in Connecticut have, the whole state doesn't have a lot of Baptist churches, but there are other places that have more. But he said later on that day that churches and preachers had failed to go over there to that county because it costs so much money to get started. And so, because they live and God's called them to minister among rich people. And during the service Sunday morning, I started thinking about it. Sunday night, I really began to think about it a little bit more. I was thinking about our church, our community, going out on visitation. You know, the Bible says this. It says, Mark 16:15, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, is what the Bible says. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I would not get up here tonight and say that that our church is not concerned about lost people, because I believe that we are. People have a burden for the lost. I know we could have a greater burden. You could always have a greater burden. We could always do more. But I know our church is concerned about our young people. My goodness, we've got missionaries out of this church that all they do, Brother Bill and Sister Sharon, they go to the elementary school. They go to the high school. People help them pray about that and want to see them successful and want to see souls saved. And so we're concerned about the young people. We're concerned about the college age people. We have ministry out of the church going to the college age people and trying to reach them. And so no doubt in my mind, people are concerned about the college age people. And I believe we're concerned about our community and different people. We try to witness to and invite to church and Bible school and all of these things. And I was thinking about all of these things, but I got to thinking about this. Who thinks twice about the rich people that we're surrounded by? You know, I thought about it like this. We sat here in the church. I'm facing that way. It's real easy to look around that way and say, boy, those people need the Lord. But I wonder how many times we look around behind us here, up on the hill, we might say. Those communities, you know, and those houses, I would be very surprised if anybody has ever went up in there and some of the other places around here that have huge homes with what we might consider rich people in them, if people very rarely probably think about going to those people and knocking on their door and witnessing to them and inviting them to church. But you know what? We talk about sending somebody way up in Connecticut, and the rich people, they need Jesus Christ too. Well, what about the rich people in our own community? We've got, I'm talking about that can hear the church bell ring from their house, no doubt. And so as I was praying on Monday morning, and I started thinking about Wednesday night, because, you know, that's just how I do. You know, I get ready for Sunday, and then Monday I'll start getting ready for Wednesday. Well, I begin to think about it. I knew in my mind as I was praying about what James chapter 1 is talking about. It's talking about the rich here. And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and showed me I wasn't ready to preach about James chapter 1 verses 9 through 12 until I'd heard the missionary come. And until I'd heard him preach and his burden for rich people. And that helped me see this. Helped me see this week in a way that I would not have seen it last week if I'd have went on. So I'm thankful when God sends a message by and how the Lord works things out in order to help us see things from the Word of God. And so look what the Bible's talking about here in verse number 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Verse 10. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. You know, the Bible says a great deal about rich people and about poor people. And many times the rich and the poor are mentioned together. The Bible said in Proverbs 22:2, it says, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Rich, poor, you know what? When you take your last breath, it's not going to matter how much you had or how much you didn't have. The Lord is the maker of them all. The rich and the poor, they're all going to meet together one day. They can either meet together here. The Bible says, or not the Bible, but you know that song, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Or they can meet, if they don't meet the Lord Jesus Christ here, they'll go to the same place when they die. They'll go to the same hell. It's not for rich people. It's not for poor people. hell's for made for the devil and his angels, but people who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, they go there. But it's interesting that here in verse number 9, that the poor, the brother of low degree, is to rejoice in that he is exalted. And I'll talk a little bit more about that and give at least one example from the Bible. But then it says, you know, in verse number 9, it does, that's not a period. It says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. The poor is exhorted to rejoice because he is exalted, but the rich, the Bible says, he's made low. He is going to pass away in verse number 10. I thought about it like this, you know, percentage-wise, do you think more poor people get saved or more rich people get saved? Percentage-wise, is there more poor people get saved or is there more rich people get saved? I think everybody would agree there's more poor people get saved. There's more ministries to the poor people that by far than there are to the rich people. There's more gospel goes out to the poor people than there are the rich people by far. And I believe the Bible teaches us that there's more poor people get saved than rich people. There's some reasons for that. I believe we could prove it from the Bible. Luke chapter number 6, you know, if we were to study over there, it's the section called the Beatitudes, you know, blessed be ye poor, for ye shall inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger, for yours is the kingdom of God. And he goes on down, and you're blessed if you're poor, and you're blessed if you're hungry. But Luke 6:24 says, but woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Is it a blessing to be poor? Is it a blessing? Some people say, oh, I'd like to be rich. I'd rather be poor and know Christ than I would have the whole world under my feet and die and go to hell. I'd rather be poor. He said, woe unto you rich. You've received your consolation. A lot of rich people don't think they need anything. They don't say that they need the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't think tonight that Jesus Christ is not concerned about rich people, because he is. Look in your Bibles in Luke chapter number 12. It's just something I've preached about poor people before. I've preached about a lot of things along those lines. But I've never really studied out and gave a whole lot of consideration about, well, what about rich people? Luke chapter number 12, I believe the Lord is very concerned about rich people, as well as poor people, not just poor people. You know, you wouldn't think a thing about going downtown and seeing, you wouldn't think a thing about going to New York City. What's that big mission out there? Garden City Outreach Mission? Pacific Gardens? What is it? There's all kinds of missions to poor people. You wouldn't think anything about going down to the poor side of town and seeing a cross up on a building, them feeding people and preaching to them at night. But you'd never go to Wall Street or some up part of town and see people trying to win rich people to the Lord. Luke chapter number 12 and verse number 16, the Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He was a rich man. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. See, if God didn't care about rich people, what'd be the use of putting that in there? Because not many people in this life are going to have so much abundance that they would have in their mind, I've got so much, I'm going to tear down everything I've got and just build bigger. But this man did. And God's concerned about this man too. Look over in Luke chapter 16. I know you've already thought about this. Luke chapter number 16. And there's a lot of places we could turn, but we don't have to go far. Right here in the book of Luke is several examples of how God cares for and is concerned about the rich. Luke chapter 16, verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, I've heard that preached on and talked about before, and sometimes it's almost made out to sound like that the man died and went to hell because he was rich. But he didn't die and go to hell because he was rich. He died and went to hell because he'd never repented, if you read the whole chapter. And he said, boy, if I could go back to my brethren, I'd tell them they need to repent, lest they also come into this place of torment. He had never repented and put his faith and trust in the Lord. He had never done that. But, you know, it wasn't because he was rich, but it might have been because nobody ever went and told him he needed to be saved. Because, you know, people that are rich and dress fine and eat in fine places every day, they're harder to approach than a poor man sitting on the street. They're harder to approach and talk to because you think that they don't need anything. But I'll tell you, a rich man that dies without Christ will die and go to hell. They need to hear the gospel too. Look over in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter number 18, and we'll just read a few verses over there. Luke chapter 18, verse 18, the Bible said, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Here's a rich man, and he's concerned about the things of God. He is rich. We'll read on down, but he said, what can I do? What shall I do that I can inherit eternal life? Look on down, verse 23. The Lord told him what he needed to do. Let's read verse 22. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. When he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now, if a rich man sells everything that he has and gives it to the poor, that doesn't mean he's saved. What the Lord was doing here was getting at the thing in his heart that was really between him and the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was his riches. And he said, you need to sell everything you got, give it to the poor, then come and follow me. The man was very sorrowful when he heard that, because it says here, for he was very rich. He was very rich. That richness was keeping him from following Christ. Verse 24, the Bible said, when Jesus saw that he was sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? He's saying here, it's hard for rich people. It's hard for rich people. How hardly, that's what the Bible says, shall they enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they heard it, they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And I like this. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. I'm glad it doesn't say that that there won't be any of them that'll be saved. He's saying there's not many of them that'll be saved, but the things that are impossible with God are impossible with man are possible with God. And so rich people do get saved. Rich people do need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior just as bad as a drunk on the street or somebody in a broken home or your common person out here that maybe they would not consider themselves rich, but rich people need the Lord too. Look over in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 1. Luke chapter 19 in verse 1 and verse number 2. This is very familiar. It said, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." You ever notice that about Zacchaeus? "Oh, I knew he was a tax collector. I knew he had cheated people, but you know what? The Bible says he was rich." But Zacchaeus was interested in seeing the Lord Jesus. I bet you Zacchaeus is glad that the Lord didn't pass by and see Zacchaeus up in a tree and say, "Oh, Zacchaeus don't need to talk to me. He's rich." The Lord knew exactly what Zacchaeus needed. Even though Zacchaeus had everything that most people would want, he didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ. So I always love to preach on Zacchaeus. The Lord came, stopped right under his tree, looked up, said, "Zacchaeus, come down. Today I must abide at thy house." And he gave Zacchaeus what Zacchaeus really needed on that day. And verse number 10 is tied in with the story of Zacchaeus. Luke 19 and 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Zacchaeus might have been rich, but you know what? Zacchaeus was lost. And Zacchaeus needed to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what about rich people? The Bible says a lot about rich people. But not only does the Bible point out how few rich people are saved, but common experience as well, we would say, it's hard to talk to rich people. There's a lot of hindrances in the life of a rich person from them coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'll point out just a few quickly. If you take notes, you might want to write these down. And I got most of these from the book of Proverbs, but going working our way back to the book of James, some hindrances to rich people coming to know the Lord. Number one, their possessions. That possessions are a hindrance to coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That rich young ruler was very rich. He was sorrowful when the Lord told him that he needed to go and sell what he had and give it to the poor. Come follow. He didn't, as far as I know, I don't think the Bible says he ever got saved. It says he went away sorrowful. Went away sorrowful. His possessions was a hindrance in him coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Not only are possessions a hindrance, but pride is a hindrance as well. Proverbs 11:28, the Bible says this, "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall." If you're trusting in your riches, that's pride. But we know this, pride comes before a fall. Pride is a hindrance to coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Along with riches, there's something else comes with riches most of the time. And number three, it's power. There's certain power that riches that come with being rich. Proverbs 22 and 16, "He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches." Could call that politicking as well. You know, a lot of this welfare, it really doesn't help anybody. Just helps them stay poor. It oppresses them, keeps them a slave, keeps people having power over them that really they shouldn't have that power over them. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches. Number four, something that hinders people, rich people, from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is privacy. Privacy. Think about these fenced communities that, you know, really they don't want you coming into and knocking on their door. You know, that's not a recent thing. The Bible said in Proverbs 10:15, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. You can go back in history and see the rich man, he's in a castle, he's dug a moat around it and filled it full of alligators, and at night he pulls up the drawbridge so them peasants out there can't get in where he is. Rich men and women and families have fenced themselves off from the gospel, from those that know more about the gospel than a lot of times they do. And that's a hindrance. You know, it, like I said, it's hard to witness to a rich person. They distance themselves, and their wealth does that. Privacy. His partners are a hindrance in him coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 14:20 says, the rich hath many friends. You know how these friends are. They help one another along. They watch out for one another. They do business with one another. And when a rich man comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's really got to think about how that's going to affect his business, his riches. What is his friends going to think about that? His partners that he has. Number six, his position in life. The Bible says, the Proverbs 22:7, the rich ruleth over the poor. It's sort of like witnessing to your boss. Witnessing to somebody that's got a lot of authority over you. Somebody that maybe they've got a degree and maybe they're in a place of position. Well, it's hard for them to think that a common man has got really something that they need. Because they're in a position of authority. They're in a position of power over somebody else. Their position, the rich ruleth over the poor. Number seven, there's a self-perception of being rich. Proverbs 28:11 said, the rich man is wise in his own conceit. He thinks because he's rich, he knows something that you don't know. He's wise in his own conceit, the Bible says. So there's many hindrances in a rich man coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure there's others. That's just a few I've mentioned tonight, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't need the Lord. He still needs the Lord. A rich man, a rich woman needs to be saved. Back in James, there's a couple of things that also start with the letter P. In verse number 10, James chapter 1, verse number 10, why he needs the Lord. Verse number 10, but the rich in that he is made low because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. He needs the Lord because no matter how rich he is, he's still going to pass away. He's going to die. I'd say more rich people die lonely than poor people. Because while they're living, the rich hath many friends. That's what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs. But when they're dying, if there's no opportunity to get any, people will fight over what they've left. But there's a lot of rich people die very lonely. Very lonely. He's going to pass away. Verse number 11, he's going to perish. Verse number 11, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grass of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. He's going to pass away. He's going to perish. But I also think about, I wrote this down, I've had seven things. Number eight, there's keeps him from coming to the Lord is his protection. You know, a rich man spends a lot of time, a lot of effort in getting rich, protecting his riches, keeping his riches, and then getting more riches on top of the riches that he already has. So in being consumed with that, it's hard for a rich man to think about his soul. It's hard for a rich man to see that he needs Christ. He's got to protect them riches. I think, you know, I've kidded with people before about the lottery, but I'm serious about this. I would never buy a lottery ticket because it'd be my luck. I'd win. And that'd ruin a preacher. That would absolutely ruin a Christian's testimony. I don't want anybody to give me a lottery ticket. My goodness, how would you explain that? And what church would want it? You think the church needs old filthy gambling money for taken and under the pretenses of poor people? It's a tax on the poor is what the lottery is. But I'm not going to get into all that. But I'd sure hate to win the lottery. People say, oh, I've not got anything against being rich. I'd like to try it sometime. It'd probably ruin you. Better thank God you just got what you need. You've got what you need. If you're one of God's children, He's promised to supply what we need. If you needed to be rich, well, God bless you. You can probably handle it, but most people couldn't handle it. Most rich people can't handle it. Spend a lot of time trying to protect the riches that they have and keep them at all cost, and then get more on top of what they have. But there's a picture here in verses 10 and 11 that I think is a good lesson for us. He's given a picture of this rich man and what he's comparing it to. Verse number 10, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. The picture there in verses 9 and 10 is that of riches there, here today, gone tomorrow. That's the lesson that we ought to learn. Of course, there's the lesson of the rich man and his need, but there's also the lesson of riches that they are very uncertain. They are literally, they can be here today, gone tomorrow. Now, I want to say this before I go on. We think sometimes, well, rich is a millionaire. And we're not rich, we're poor. But I'll tell you, compared to most of the people in the world, we're the rich ones. If you had somebody come here from a lot of other countries in the world, and it'd be like I read a story today. And it's talking about years ago, and this lady was in her home, and these two children knocked on her door, and they were going around collecting papers. I guess maybe like people used to collect, pick up cans and sell them. They were asking for some kind of papers. I didn't even understand what they were wanting. But they knocked on the door, the two little children. They asked the lady, they said, do you have any papers? And she was busy and she started to send them away. She wanted to say no. But she looked down at them and it was very cold outside and their feet were cold. And she touched her heart. She said, come in. I'll see what I've got. She fixed them some cocoa and gave them some crackers and let them sit down beside the fire. And they tromped mud into her house and got it all over her hearth. And so she fixed them something hot to drink, gave it to them. She went back to what she was doing in the other room while they were drinking their cocoa. She was very busy, and she noticed how very quiet they were sitting there. And so she come back in the room, and she said, is everything all right? And said, the little boy looked at her and said, lady, are you rich? And she said, why, heavens no, I'm not rich. And she said, well, your cups matched your saucers. And we thought you were rich. And so she let them finish their cocoa and sent him back out with some papers, and she said she straightened the room back up, but she didn't clean that hearth off, unless she'd forget how rich she was. You say, boy, I got to think about that. We're rich. We're rich, and we don't even know it. But I'll tell you, our physical riches, they can be gone tomorrow. They can be gone before we get home tonight. Our nation's Riches can be gone. 1 Timothy 6:17 said, Paul telling Timothy about preaching, he said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That's who we need to have our trust in. Not uncertain riches. Proverbs 23 and 5 says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Riches can get gone just like that. And I know how people are and how Americans are. We say, oh, but I've got a sure thing. I've got a secure nest egg. I have watched what I have done over the years, and we think we're going to be all right. But I want to show you something in verses 10 and 11. And this we ought to remember this. The rich in that he is made low because of the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Verse 11. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grass and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. You know what that's saying there? In those verses, it's reminding us that the same sun that caused the flower of the grass to grow and bloom is the same sun that caused the flower of the grass to wither and to perish and to fall away. Same sun, different day. Say, oh, we're going to be all right. We don't have to worry about anything. I thought about this, and I thought about the business that I had. It was actually a business that I had worked in for about 20 years. That business, in the beginning, had bought a lot of groceries for my family. Paid a lot of car payments, paid mortgages, more house payments, you know what I'm talking about. Been a great blessing. But that same business. You know, I was in the building supply business for years and worked. That same business also about caused me to lose everything I had, including my mind. Same business, different day. Our circumstances can change. The same sun, people say, boy, I made a lot of money in the stock market. A lot of people said, I lost a lot of money in the stock market. Same sun. Same things, different days. Riches are uncertain. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. All right. Verse number 12. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried. Now, he returns to what he was talking about for us about 6 or 7 or 8 weeks ago. Back in verse number 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He comes back around to this same thing again about being tried. Temptations, which are actually trials in our lives. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now there's something that's going to last forever. See, riches of this life and this earth, they can all pass away, burn up, they're going to be gone. But he comes back to this thing of the trying of our faith and receiving a crown of life. That'll not fade away. That'll not burn up. That'll not, you know, that's not something you're going to lose. So he comes back to eternal things. The crown of life is one of the crowns that a Christian can win in their Christian life. But the crown of life is called the martyr's crown. And it's only mentioned 2 times in the Bible. It's mentioned here in verse number 12 in relation to the trying of our faith. But in Revelation chapter 2 is the other time it's mentioned. We'll turn over there and I'll close tonight. But this is, it's interesting to me. I've always separated this crown of life and said, well, it's for enduring temptation. It's for making it through trials in your life. But I think it's just one crown. It's a martyr's crown. It's a crown for being persecuted and standing up during times of persecution in our life, which would try your faith. You know, I read in Fox's Book of Martyrs and other places about them taking somebody out to the stake and tying them to a pole and setting a bundle of, you know, building a bonfire around it and burning them to death. You know, we'd all like to say, yeah, I'd do that for the Lord. Well, it sure would be a trying of our faith, wouldn't it? I would like to think that we would, that we'd have the grace of God to do that if that came into our lives. But I believe this crown of life is the martyr's crown. But Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. He said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. And this is the church at Smyrna, and that they were persecuted. And he didn't say anything negative about them or the church at Philadelphia. Persecution purifies the church. We'd like to have and see revival like the preacher was talking about last Sunday morning. I believe God can give revival. But in order to get us to where we'd receive it, what's God going to have to do? What would the Lord have to allow in our lives? Well, they were persecuted severely. He said, for none of those things which thou, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death. You're going to be tried. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And so, the more I've studied about that, I believe that crown of life is just the martyr's crown, period. Because persecution does try and test our faith. And many, many Christians down through the centuries have stood up when they have been persecuted and tried for their faith. We say, well, I don't know how I'd do. And I'll just close by saying this. It helps me to thank the grace of God that He has given to other people to endure things that they didn't think they could endure. And you know, if God would do that for them, I believe the Lord would do that for us. I mean, if it come down to it. Because God's been very faithful in the past with His saints. As they've been persecuted, He's been very near and dear unto them. So what others have done before, it's sort of like when Kim went in to have our first child, Noah. And I tried to encourage her. And I said, just think of all them other women that's went through that. I don't know if that helped, but it helped me. It helped me when I was going to basic training and I was real nervous about it. And Daddy told me the same thing. He said, just think about all them other millions of men that's went through basic training and they've been all right. You'll be all right. So I use that on her too. And see, she's all right. But anyway, Lord willing, next week we'll go a little farther in this.